This is podcast 13. You know, being a child in Earth, Texas, we did things a little different, seemed like. You know, when we played hide and go seek, we never yelled ollie ollie oxen free ever at the end of it. But now we did play piggy wants a signal. I can remember some nights back in the 50s and the mosquitoes was out and everything. We played a lot of piggy wants a signal. So just letting you know there that if you're from a different part of the country and you've never played piggy wants a signal and you're up in your 50s, 60s, maybe even 70s, you better get her done before the Grim Reaper comes to get you, because best I remember in the sand hills, it was pretty doggone fun. But enough of that silliness, enough of those foolish childhood thoughts. Let's go on to the first question. And the question being, what's the biggest problem? And the person writes in, the lack of communication between the dispatchers. Now, I can only assume you're saying the dispatchers don't talk among themselves, or that's what I'm assuming there. Now, we at Booker, we have a thing called the virtual dispatch room, VDR. And I sit in the virtual dispatch room all the time. It allows me to walk right in there amongst the dispatchers. And the chatter is constant. They're constantly chattering between each other. And hundreds of emails are flying daily. They can't really talk to each other because they're on the phone talking to, of course, customers or drivers. So, but you know, the internal messaging can get overwhelming. So with all that said, I know they're communicating to a good degree, but I need this situation that you're talking about explained to me better. So, once you listen to this podcast and you know who you are, pick up the phone, dial in, go to extension 99 and be as detailed as possible of where you feel the dispatchers are lacking in communication. And then let me, try to pick that ball up and run with it. Speaking of communication, I've even thought of trying to maybe holding a once a month, a conference call with all you guys, maybe getting it to an hour or 2 hours. And then I don't know if you've ever sat in on an earnings call with a public corporation, but at the end they have analysts can ask the CFO or the CEO of the corporation questions. And they just, you know, when you dial into the conference, everybody's muted. And then if you want to ask a question, a lot of the systems, you hit like a series of numbers, like let's say *5, and it'll put you in a queue, which they call raising your hand. And you raise your hand, then you'll ask a question. And then when it comes your turn, they open the mic, you ask your question, and you get a live answer. I've thought about doing that once a month, once every 2 months, something like that, because it's so hard to get everybody off the road together. It's even hard to cook hot dogs and hamburgers. You know, we had a barbecue a couple of 3 years ago, and it's like pulling teeth. It was great. You know, we gave away door prizes. So it's like pulling teeth, getting everybody there at one time together. Everybody's so busy and got their own thing to do. Maybe we can, get a conference call going where we can ask some questions and, get questions asked along the ways and people can hear it. I'll take a poll later maybe on that if you guys want to get that done. Okay, on to the next question. What's the problem? Backhaul. Two words. Could be one word, I guess. I really don't know. Can you hyphenate backhaul? But anyway, this one was backhaul. Again, I could really jump in there. I could jump in there a lot if I knew what the problem with backhaul was. I just need a little more detail. You got to give me more grist for my meal here so that I can make a good product. So, you know, I what's going through my mind right now is I'm thinking, you know, backhauls from where, you know, where could this person be thinking the, you know, backhauls need help from? Too long backhauls, too cheap of backhauls, too hard of backhauls, give me more, give me some specifics and I'll certainly give you some specific answers. So, call the number, call in to extension 99. You know who you are, leave me some info. Let me work on it. Put me to work. That's what you pay me for. You know, I don't know if you pay me for it, but that's one of the benefits of being leased on to Booker is that you do get me to go to work for you. And I'm not saying I'm the smartest guy in the world, but I surround myself with things that can get answers and people that can get answers and software that can get answers. So put me to work and let me see what I can do for you. Okay, on to the next one. What's the biggest problem? And the reply is, the only problem is waiting for trailers to be inspected at the yard. Ding, 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 ding. There it is. There, that is the main utmost problem recognized out of this survey. And we are working on it. I hope you've listened to the previous podcast. I hope you didn't start at podcast 13 and then going to work your way around randomly. It's best to start at podcast 1, bring it all the way up to podcast 13, and you'll know that that is the number one problem at Booker and that we are working on it as we speak. We will get that problem taken care of. And do you have any ideas to make Booker better? And the person replies, air ride trailers. And, you know, I've addressed air ride trailers in earlier podcasts, but I guess it would just be, I'm not sure what the lust is for them after you read about them. They're certainly not a money-making entity from a standpoint. They don't treat the cargo that much better due to studies with sensors put in the trailer. So, I don't know what the love for air ride trailers is, but if you'll call in and go to extension 99, I'll email you two studies done, one done by Snyder and one done by Extra Lease, that compare air ride trailers versus spring ride trailers, and I'll just let you decide. And so with that said, we'll go on to the next one. What's the biggest problem? And this person replies, some weekends didn't get loads in too many days between pickups and delivery. Let me start off by saying that we, as Booker, we just don't have a guaranteed number of loads from anyone. And it all depends on how we as a group did the day before or right then. Because if we got a lot of folks screwing up, delivering late loads, doing something wrong, hey, Seaboard will cut us back. Cargill will cut us back. Montfort, Swift, whoever out there will. Tyson, that's the way they work. If we got a lot of foul ups, we're going to get cut back and they're going to give freight to another carrier until we show them we have our stuff together again. I put parentheses around that stuff, and that's not saying that's the case here, but since you gave me no specifics, you didn't give me dates or when or whatever. I just thought I'd throw that out there, throw that tidbit out there. I've heard guys say, hey, where's my Hidalgo? And, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, I didn't know you even had a Hidalgo, because if the plant salesman didn't make the sale, or the markets went the wrong way, or the plant had a breakdown, or the customer's credit was lousy and failed, hey, there's a thousands of reasons why a set number of loads can't be given each week. We hustle loads every day. We hustle to get loads every day. That's just the way we do it. We would not be even close to the size we are if we didn't hustle up that every day. But there's so many variables. You know, hey, the people's credit in McAllen was no good. There's no McAllen today, but I can give you Savannah, Georgia. Do you want it? And you know what? You might, if freight's a little tight, you might say, yeah, I'll haul it. When does that thing deliver? And they'll give you that. And then you work to cover that. That's the way real life of the meatpacking plant is. You know, you might have four Laredos on the books. We go there a lot. You might get an email from Cargill that morning and say, all Laredos are on credit hold or all Laredos canceled. What do? You got people headed to those plants right then to cover those four Laredos that were going to, you know, it's Monday. Those Laredos delivered Wednesday. You got four people headed to the plant then. What do? Do you just tell the people, well, sorry? Do you tell the drivers, sorry, there's just no Laredos. We're done. Let's see what happens. Maybe we'll get some in the next few days. Or do you hump up and try to get loads going other places that will keep everybody happy? So, I don't know about some loads didn't get rid, but there are so many variables. You have to set in there to see it. I'm telling you. You have to set in there to believe it. And most of these customers, I'll reemphasize this, they don't care what you did a month ago. They don't care what you did last year. How are you treating me today? What's going wrong today? What good are you doing me today? Because if you're not doing them any good, or you're doing them very lousy, and you got one turned over in the ditch here, and you got two running late, and guys not checking in because they're setting, you know what they'll do? those loads, those other loads just evaporate into thin air. So somebody gets left out. So, I don't know if that didn't answer your question because it wasn't specific, but I thought you guys needed to hear that. And then, the idea is, do you have any idea to make Booker better? And the person replies, keep up the good work. Hey, thank you for the attaboy. I sincerely appreciate it. It's good to hear that from time to time and vice versa. You guys that do a good job, keep it up. You know, it's appreciated. Don't think it doesn't go unnoticed. Okay, let's go to the next one. You have any ideas to make Booker better? And the person responds, I think we should be allowed to have more than one truck leased on to Booker so we can make more money if we choose. We have to take any additional trucks elsewhere. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, but that is not true. You don't have to take them elsewhere, but it comes with a strong warning from me. The failure rate, once an owner operator buys a second truck, is I'm going to reach out there and say it's approximately 85% within the next 2 years. And believe it or not, I like you guys. You guys that work hard and can afford a second truck are likable. You get along. You obviously do things right because you've made enough money to get a second truck. But I make sure my business is ran right, so I can pay my bills on time and you have a decent place to work also. And with that said, I need you good guys around. I don't need you going broke. Now, trucking business is tough and I don't know anything but trucking. I didn't go get my lawyer's degree. I didn't go get my doctor's degree. And I've been around since I was 21. I was raised on a farm Earth, Texas first and Hereford, Texas second. So I'd never been around a truck. And the first time I got around trucks, I took a mechanic's job at Affiliated Foods and I just absolutely fell in love with trucks and trucking, just crazy about it. And I've been crazy about it and in love with it ever since. But I'm trying to give you the big picture of how things work. You know, the biggest problems you will face when you get another truck is finding a good driver. And then your second biggest problem is finding a good driver that doesn't tear up your stuff. Let's take that further. Three, finding a good driver that doesn't over advance that truck in comp checks. How about finding a good driver that doesn't steal from you? And then finding a good driver that doesn't lie to you. You know, a person that will lie to you will steal from you and vice versa. A person that steals from you will lie to you. So that kind of goes hands in hand. What happens with the good driver when your truck breaks down for an extended period of time? You know, you got to think about that. You got a real good driver. You finally found Mr. or Mrs. Wright and they're in that truck and that truck breaks down and they can't get it in the shop for this week. And it's going to be 4 weeks, before it can be out at the earliest. That's one solid month. What is that guy going to do or lady going to do? So the first thing everybody thinks is I'll put them into my truck and they can keep working. Well, right then you run yourself out of a job and you're not working and you're having to pay somebody else. So it's got there's a lot of caveats. There's a lot of warnings to go with it. But if you're dead set on it, you don't have to take them and lease them somewhere else. Just, you know, bring them on, but don't blame me. It can be done, but don't blame me. That's all I'm saying, because the first thing that happens when financial times do get tough. When things start going wrong, you start blaming me. Well, you shouldn't have gave the guy advances. Okay, we won't give him any more advances. He has to call you and you approve every advance. Well, you know what? That doesn't work all that good either, because he calls the owner of the truck and then the owner of the truck has to call us to get an advance. And the owner of the truck may be sleeping or needing to sleep at that point of time. So, you know, you're on call 24 hours. If you want to, you know, control all the advances, there's just so much stuff that goes with it. So, are you set up to pay them? Are you set up to withhold? It all adds up, and I'm just warning. I'm not saying it can't work and I'm not saying it doesn't work, but to make it work, you have to really be on top of everything. And the odds are against you to start with. So, I used to be in the shop business, and in the old days, you know, you would have mechanics, and then you would need kind of somebody that was a shop foreman. And so you would take your best mechanic and turn them into a shop foreman. Well, shop foreman comes with a lot of paperwork and a lot of stuff that's not necessarily mechanic. And what I found out over the years, it took me a while to learn it, as I elevated my best mechanic to a shop foreman, what I usually got was a shop foreman that wasn't all that good, and I lost my best mechanic. So in the same way, if I encourage my best operators out there to get a second truck, they'll make lousy fleet owners, and I'll lose my best owner operators. So I guess it kind of goes like that. I hope you followed that logic. But anyway, there it is. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I'm just warning you that you can do it, but listen to the warnings is all I got to say. Okay, on to the next one. What do you think the biggest problem Booker has? And they reply, Comcheck charges too high. And I must ask, too high compared to what? To Western Union? To other truck lines? Comdata charges fees for their service. Then I have to pay Comdata for what I advance you guys, fuel and cash. I have to pay them back almost daily. In order to do that, I have to borrow money from a bank because I don't get paid daily. I send bills, invoices off to my customers, and they pay me in every 30 days. So the cash flow kind of gets charged. So the bank charges me. I have to borrow money from a bank if I can. Some people can't borrow money from a bank. Then I borrow money from the bank to pay my Comdata, and they charge me interest. Thank God interest is cheap. Then I have to pay someone to keep up with the comp check. Now, who keeps up with them? Who knows who gets what? So I have to pay someone to keep up with the comp checks. Then I have to pay somebody to pay the comp data bill. And then I have to pay somebody to monitor and issue the comp checks live. I have to do that. So if you could tell me they are too high compared to what, I will do my best to change things. Do Heath, Snyder, Conway, England, all of them, do they charge less than I do? I would love to hear how too high I am and against what. Seriously, you don't have to use Comdata or Comchecks through Booker. You can get your own credit card. You can get your own fuel card. You can have someone transfer you money to you like Western Union. You can go out to your banker and ask them to give you a line of credit, like I have had to do for the last 40 years. And then you can pay cash and such to lumpers. So, there are many ways to do it, but, you don't have to have a Comdata. It's not required. You don't have to have a Comdata account through Booker. In fact, I would prefer everybody pay for their own fuel, pay for their own lumpers. It's just an accounting process. I wouldn't have to do. Man, life would be a lot easier if I didn't have to keep up with comp checks. In the older times, truckers used to pay for their fuel with their own credit card or their fuel card. And, they would only draw comp checks in the worst emergency. So, comp checks, were an integral part of trucking for emergencies. And I remember when they came along, but before that it was cash and fuel cards, maybe a FINA card or something. So, you got to trust me when I tell you, Comchecks are, and Comdata is a hassle for me in business. And if you wish not to deal with them at all, you could become one of my new best friends because it is a hassle and a pain for us. I hope that answered your question. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Dudes. Now that's from the world of dudism, because I looked up and we're almost at 20 minutes, but I'll tell you a quick story about dude. I never did like the word dude. I was doing something somewhere back in the 80s and I dropped something out of my pocket and didn't know it. And this guy goes, dude, you dropped this. And it kind of irked me at first. And it used to be, wasn't a term of endearment, but over the years, people change and, now, dude has become kind of a term of endearment. What's up, dude? Hey, dude, what's up? So, the world of dudism is not only for stoners and smokeheads. It can be a term of endearment also. And with that said, dudes, Drive safe. See you next podcast. Bye.